Well, if you are visiting, we want to welcome you. It's been a great time in our study of God's Word the last 5 weeks, which today will be the final week in which we will look at spiritual gifts. We started a series on spiritual gifts with the purpose of teaching you what the Bible says are spiritual gifts and the purpose of them to impact the body of Christ. Normally, we would go through an exposition of a book, and right now we're going through the Gospel of John, but we had set that aside to be able to encourage the people of God to exercise the gifts that God has given them for the good of the body and for His glory. And so this morning, we're going to look at, again, one more time at spiritual gifts. When the Lord saved me back in 1993, I really wanted to use my life for the glory of God. I had no idea that that's what I wanted. Nobody expressed that to me in one sense. But I wanted it to count. I was grateful for what God has done for me in Christ. As a kid, I could not imagine that God would love a sinner like me in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God saved me, I could, and I wanted to, do all that I can to serve the Lord at a young age. I was in high school, getting ready to head into the 11th grade. And as I was part of this thing called youth group at the time, had no idea what that was, but I started attending one. And it was an awesome time. I grew. God placed my pastor there and the men around me to encourage me, to teach me. And one of the things that God gave me, and I didn't realize this, but it was a desire to know the Word so that I can just share it with anybody else. But one thing I didn't know was regarding spiritual gifts. I had no idea that God had given me one or several. And one day my youth pastor gave me this thing called a spiritual gifts test. Some of you are smiling because you know what I'm talking about. You might have already seen these spiritual gifts test, but there are basically questions designed to get you to think maybe if you answer a certain way, you might have this spiritual gift. And so I didn't know at the time that there was no such thing as a spiritual gifts test in the Bible. I thought, hey, if they're giving me this test, then there must be a spiritual gift test in the Bible. But I ended up taking this test. And while I was taking this test, I realized, you know, if I answer these questions this way, then I will avoid one of the gifts that I don't want, that I'm scared of. And that was teaching in public. I was scared. I can barely speak. I can barely speak English, and let alone read in English. And since it's my second language, and so I thought to myself, okay, if I can just answer these gifts, I just want the gift of service, and I loved serving. I loved giving myself to people and just blessing them. Well, what I discovered was that if you wanted this particular gift, all you had to do was answer the questions in a certain way. So I took the test 5 times because I didn't want to stand in public before people. I was terrified. Now, these tests are inadequate and usually misleading, especially once you figure out how to answer the questions. And I don't recommend those tools to you because they're very subjective. Again, you could begin to figure out some things and you begin to answer the questions in a way that you have more leanings towards. Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about this one, but I'm going to pursue this one instead. Well, the good thing about it is you don't have to take a spiritual gifts test to discover what kind of spiritual gift you have. But the question is, how do you discover your spiritual gift? Well, we have been going through discovering or understanding spiritual gifts for the last 5 weeks. Today, as I said, is the fifth week and our final week. And we've answered questions like this. What are spiritual gifts? They're spiritually endowed, given, God-given gifts to his people for his use, for his glory. And how do we get them? We get them by God's grace. At the moment of salvation, every believer has a spiritual gift. If not, as I will say later, several spiritual gifts. And then we talked about the why are these spiritual gifts given? And they're given for the primary purpose to be used in the local church for the blessing of one another. Paul uses the word for the common good, for the edification of the body. The gifts were never intended to put or draw attention to yourself, but rather to God in serving his people. And then we answer the question, what gifts are temporary and what gifts are permanent? And then Pastor Brian did two messages on the eight gifts that we believe the scripture teaches are the permanent gifts. Those are evangelism, teaching, pastor, teacher, exhortation, helps or ministry or service, mercy, giving, governing, and administration or ruling. The question is, how do you discover which gift you have? Well, I want to look at some practical steps that you can take to do this. Now, as I was working through this together, this is the least textual sermon that I will preach, because it is based upon all the previous messages, okay? And so if you want to understand, and if you've kind of been in and out of here on Sunday mornings, and you're like, where's the word? But we'll look at some texts and we'll talk about some principles from those texts. But the exegesis, the basis of what we're talking about this morning is based upon all the messages that we have in this series. So this morning, we're going to look at five practical steps that you need to apply in order to discover spiritual gifts that God has given to you. But not just so that you would be encouraged to say, yes, this is what I got, cool. But rather, so that you will understand what those gifts are, and not only understand, but also, and then more importantly, use them. Use them in the body. So I titled this morning's message, Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. Number one, what's the first practical step that you need to take in understanding your spiritual gift and discovering what gift God has given to you? And that is, study the spiritual gifts. Study the spiritual gifts. When you go to 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul admonishing the Corinthians in the use of spiritual gifts, he says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Unaware. Our purpose in this study that we have been doing here on spiritual gifts is to help you with that very same thing, understanding or studying the spiritual gifts so that you can discover them. And so this message builds upon all that we have done. And Paul says that understanding is the first step to identifying which spiritual gift you have. He says he doesn't want his people to be unaware, that is to be ignorant or to be uninformed. And when you are ignorant of the spiritual gift or you are uninformed, you more likely will not be exercising it. You won't be using it in the body of Christ. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is and the purpose in which God has given them to you, then you will not use it. So the first thing that you need to do is study the spiritual gifts. When you don't understand spiritual gifts, so as to discover and use them for the glory of God and the building of the body, the church becomes crippled. Crippled. And I see this firsthand in this last week and a half with my son, Zion. And I did ask him permission to say, can I talk about you in the sermon? See, previously, Zion is just a bubbly kid. He loves to just hang out, talk, funny, and loves to spend time with his brothers, and loves to play to a certain extent. He's actually the most cautious of all my boys. But when he broke his femur a week and a half ago, he was crippled. He couldn't do anything. Everybody else had to serve him. Everybody else had to do certain things for him. He was dependent upon everyone. And as much as he wanted to go outside, even now, having been this a week and a half now away, and he's been recovering remarkably, he's here this morning. It's amazing. If I told him if that was me, I would still be in the hospital. And now he's putting pressure on his leg. He's even tried to do some little dances, and we're like, ah, stop it, don't do that. He's getting stir crazy. He wants to get out and do stuff and healing remarkably. But he's still dependent. He's still limited because his right leg can't do what it used to do. It can't uphold the rest of the body. And so the rest of the body is hindered by doing what it's supposed to do. And as I thought through that, I was like, man, that is exactly what happens in the body of Christ when believers are not aware of their spiritual gifts, and even more so when believers are not exercising their spiritual gifts. The whole body is hindered. And there are others who are trying to compensate for it, but it's difficult. And then what they're supposed to be doing suffers. And so one of the ways in discovering your spiritual gift is to study the spiritual gifts. Know them. The whole church can be crippled and cannot move forward to accomplish what God has designed for it if you don't know what the spiritual gifts are, if you don't understand them, if you don't know what they're for. So the first practical step in discovering your spiritual gift is to study the spiritual gifts. And we have done that for that purpose for you here. I encourage you to, like I said, if you have not listened to the previous messages, listen to them. They all build upon each other. And so they're necessary for you to discover your spiritual gift. Number two, pray to discover your spiritual gift. Pray to discover your spiritual gift. You see, God has given each believer a spiritual gift, or maybe even in some cases, multiple gifts. And he has given them to you so that you can serve the body of Christ. And so pray to the Lord to help you see which gift he has already given you. This is something that Paul talks about, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14. Though the word prayer here is not in the text, this is what the verse says. Pursue love. This is after Paul had just placed love as the ultimate motive in using your spiritual gift. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. There is a desire to know and use them in the body. Desire them. Seek them out. Seek to discover what God has given you. Pray so that would imply that there is a prayer. Lord, help me to discern which one you have given me. Paul states here that this is what a believer would do. He would earnestly desire, not only for them themselves, but in the body of Christ, that believers would know and see and understand and use their gifts within the body as well. We've been going through the Gospel of John. And Jesus here at the end in the upper room heading into to his death, meeting with the disciples and telling them, hey, I am going to be leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, another one like me, who will help you accomplish all that God has given to you. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we have spiritual gifts. But in that context, and in the upper room, Jesus gave them this. He says in John 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That is to say that Jesus is not saying, hey, I'm going to give you a blank check. All you have to do at the end of your prayer is say, in Jesus' name, and then I'll give it to you. That's not what he's saying. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in line with his character, with his purpose, with his revealed will as found in the Word of God. That's why in John 15, when we talked about abiding in Christ, he says this in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So here's the, if this is going on, you're consistently finding your nourishment in me and in the Word of God, my words, he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so God wants to bless his church. He wants his church to represent who he is well. And one of the ways that happens is by believers discovering their spiritual gift and using it within the body of Christ. This is a prayer when you ask God, oh Lord, help me to discern my spiritual gift. We're not praying, oh God, give me this spiritual gift. We've already talked about you can't pray that. God has already given to you. He's the one who gives as he wills. This is what the passage in 1 Corinthians talked about. We talked about that at the beginning of the message of this series. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then at the end, in verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Both the giving is passive, and he gives as he wills, as he sees fit, as he desires. So we're not praying, oh God, give me this specific one. You'd be wasting your time. Instead, what you're praying for is, Lord, help me to discern. Help me to discover what you have already given me so that I can use it for your body. And so pray for yourself. Pray for insight into which gift you have. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to help you understand further those gifts in the Scriptures. Maybe even listen to the messages again and consider, what is it that God has given to me? Pray for faithfulness in using your gift. Pray that God would use you to bless the body. You want your life to count, right? Christ didn't save you so that you can keep everything to yourself and just come and pay him a visit week in and week out. He saved you because, and he didn't take you home because he has work for you to do here on earth. And part of that is using your gifts in the body of Christ. Pray for insight. Pray for faithfulness, that you would faithfully steward the gift that God has given you. But also pray that you would have the right motive. And you say, well, what is the right motive? The motive is love. The motive is love. It was really encouraging to me as I thought through these things and considering exercising the gift that God has given to me. One of them is which what I'm doing right now. Teaching and preaching, that sometimes, and you might have seen this over in your Christian life, sometimes you're just like, man, I just don't want to do that. And the reason why is because we have become self-focused. Or we look back in the past, well, you know, I was hurt at this place. Or once this church discovered my spiritual gift in this, guess what? I was in nursery for like the last 50 years. And so you just kind of are like, oh man, I don't know. And you start to freak out. But the amazing thing is this, ask God, pray through 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, to help you love with your gift in this way. If you're struggling with using your gift, or you're struggling with the fact that in the past there were some bad experiences, ask God to help you. Pray that He would help you use your gift in this way. Pray that you would have the right motive, a motive of love, putting others before yourself, putting their needs before yourself. And pray to be used of God for the building up of the Christians in the local church, in this local church. But not only pray for yourself. When Paul tells earnestly desire spiritual gifts, he is saying this is what you should want to see happen in the body of Christ. So pray for other believers as well. Pray for one another. You ever wondered, hey, what can I be praying for this person? What can I be praying for the body of Christ? Pray for the same things that you would pray for yourself when you're praying about discovering your spiritual gift. Pray that they would use it to the glory of God. Pray that the body of Christ would have the right motive. Pray that they would make it a priority to be involved in the body of Christ, so much so that they see the needs and that they arise to those needs and say, I know God has given me this gift to serve one another in this area. Pray that they would see their gift as important and necessary for the church to accomplish what God intended while on earth. Again, if you're not exercising your spiritual gift, you're hindering the body. And that is the most selfish act to do. God saved you and put you actually here. Specifically here. So that you can bless one another. And when we are doing that, man, the world watches and sees how in the world does that happen. And they marvel at how can God use sinners who are bent towards selfishness accomplish anything. Because we are indwelt by the permanent residence of the Holy Spirit who helps us accomplish His work. So not only study the spiritual gifts, but also pray to discover your spiritual gift. Number three. Take opportunities to use your spiritual gift. Take opportunities to use your spiritual gifts. The passage that I just read this morning from 1 Peter 4, Peter makes this clear. He says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The gifts that God has given to you were given for the purpose of using it for one another. They were given to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And this is very interesting because Peter is writing to a group of people who are being persecuted in ways that even right now we have never experienced here. They are dying for their faith. They are being held accountable by the authorities around them, ostracized by the religious system that is in that time. Everybody is against these Christians. And often when we encounter some difficulties, when we struggle, one of the first things that happen is that we become so inner-focused. And we forget, wait a minute, we need to be other-focused, even in the midst of persecution. And so Peter encourages the Christians and it says, hey, God has given you these gifts, even if you're suffering, use them. As a matter of fact, that is one of the greatest ways that we can be the hands and feet of Christ to one another. Remember Jesus in the upper room in John chapter 15? He tells them this in John chapter 15, verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. A greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." And then at the end of that verse, he says, "This I command," verse 17, he says, "This I command you, that you love one another." What is one of the ways that you can love one another? Using your spiritual gift. But consider context. Jesus just tells him, love, serve, abide in me. I'm going to give you everything. Guess what? The world is going to hate you. How are we to make it in a world when it is hostile against us? By believers loving one another and serving one another and exercising their gifts to help one another. That's how we do it. That's how we become a great witness. That's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. And there were times that even God designed and brought persecution to scatter them because they were a little close together. They were like, "Hey, man, we can just do it right here." He's like, "Oh, you need to go out." And then when the church went out, God's people began to exercise and use their gifts so that the glory of Christ and the gospel might be made known to the nations. So take opportunities to use your spiritual gift. And this is by far the most difficult one because it will require both time and evaluation. If you're going to discover your spiritual gift, you need to try your hand at the 8 gifts that Pastor Brian preached on. Naturally, not all of them are available for everyone. Not everybody's going to be a pastor teacher. However, for the rest, experiment. Experimenting in those areas is essential if you want to discover your spiritual gift. Is that me? Sorry. See, you will not know what your spiritual gift is unless you have actually tried using it. Try using your gift for a long period of time. In other words, I'm not talking about using it for a brief attempt. Some of you say, "I want to serve. I have the gift of service or helps." And you know that there's a need in the nursery. And you say, "I'm going to serve over there." And you go there one weekend or on Wednesday, and disaster happens. And there everything seems to fall apart, and you're like, "Oh man, I don't know what to do." And then out of that situation, one time you conclude, "Man, maybe I'm not gifted to help in this area. Maybe I'm not even have gifted the gift that helps." You won't discover it with a brief moment. You need some time. You need to invest. You need to consider, "Wait a minute. What could I have done different? How can I improve this?" If you have the gift of helps and service, it doesn't matter if it falls apart. You will still honor God in the midst of that. So what I'm talking about is you need to take some time in using your spiritual gift or in these 8 areas for a long period of time where you get to know both the joys and actually the difficulties in serving in that area. People think often it's like, "Man, I just wish I had the gift of teaching or I can preach." And it's like, yeah. It's awesome because you get to study the word. I wish I can do what you did, Pastor. right. And some of you might. And some of you study the Bible. And some of you desire and have the gift of teaching. But do you have the desire to do the work? Would you put the 30 hours a week it takes to study, to invest, to write a 20 to 25 page paper every week so that you can declare with clarity the Word of God? So God's people will be blessed and equipped for the good work of service. Oh, it's like, oh, maybe we want to pause for a moment. I don't know about that part. And it's not always a joy. There are struggles because you're wrestling with your own flesh. And that's the same thing with service and any gift. Just because you have a spiritual gift doesn't mean that now all of a sudden your dust, we're given this little pixie dust so that you can do it and it's perfect and it's great. And you don't have to deal with your own sin, your own selfishness. That's nonsense. You have to deal with all that. And so in order for you to discover your spiritual gift, it's going to take some time in the midst of that service or gift for you to discover that. For you to understand. For you to see the joy and blessing it is towards other people. The work that is necessary that nobody else sees. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. It doesn't matter because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. I would say no less than 4 months to at least 6 months or more, depending on what the gift is. For example, if you're wanting to, to teach, this will take longer to see if you have the gift because there's a lot that goes into that. Then perhaps maybe say the gift of service and particularly in taking care of the grounds in the facility. You can just jump into that. Some of you are gifted in that way and you just find great joy in making things happen. Taking care of things, being good stewards of the things around this facility. Yeah, that's great. It's one way you can exercise the gift of helps and service. But I would say no less than 4 months, at least I would say 6 months, depending on what it is. You need to delve into the 8 areas of possible giftedness. I love what Dr. Thomas said, one of my professors who's now with the Lord, it was the hardest class in my seminary preparation and training. But he says this. He says that suggestion, the suggestion of delving into the 8 areas of the gifts, he says that suggestion may seem rather bold and even ill-advised. Someone may ask, what if I try my hand in a particular area and it turns out not to be gifted in that area? Have I not presumed upon the Lord? Have I not plunged into the area of expertise I have no business entering? The answer is flatly, no, you have not. Every one of the 8 gifts represents a general Christian responsibility, a ministry where every Christian is responsible to God to be active, whether he or she has that gift or not. If it turns out not to be gifted in a given way, you have not sinned. You have simply obeyed God in trying to have a positive effect on the growth of the body of Christ through carrying out the duties every Christian should be performing. And he gives an example. He says, for example, maybe you don't have the gift of evangelism, but all believers are called to evangelize. And so you evangelize out of love for God, out of obedience to God. Or maybe you don't have the gift of showing mercy. But every believer is called to bear up one another's burdens, to help a brother and sister, to show mercy to one who is struggling. And these are all ways in which Christians ought to serve, regardless if they are gifted or not. And as a matter of fact, there are times where things rise up in the ministry where people of God out of 1 Corinthians 13 would step into those situations regardless if they're gifted or not. They have to happen. They need to be done. So look for opportunities to serve. Try them. Look for opportunities already here to serve. Pastor Brian had mentioned when he was preaching on the 8 gifts. He's giving you practical examples of how you can apply that here and now. Here, not somewhere in the future. And maybe there are some things that should be happening. And we know that there are. That's what we want you to be thinking about. You can actually come and talk to one of us as elders. And you can ask, where can I serve? What can I use? I think I have this gift. How can I use it in this body? Especially if you have one specific area that you're thinking, this is where you want to serve. Now, there will be dozens of objections. This is really the hardest of all. Especially, again, as if you've tried this before and you're scared of what's happened in the past. But again, go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and consider love. Consider the love that God has one shown you, the mercy that he has shown you as a sinner who was in complete rebellion to him. Who the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins and could not save yourself. You could do nothing good to earn your salvation. Even attending church, reading your Bible would never save you. Even serving in the church as an unbeliever, there are often unbelievers who do that. And they think, man, I'm good. No. You were dead, the Bible says. You couldn't respond. And it was God who had to do his own supernatural work in your heart through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin as you heard the gospel being preached, that only Christ can save you from your sin and that you can be forgiven of your sin and be made right with God through the work of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, God gives you everything you need for life and godliness, especially the gift of the Spirit to help you serve in his church. Dr. Thomas again says this: experimentation is a proving ground where actual discovery comes. And later on he says, if you desire to know your gifts, gift or gifts, plural. If your desire to know your gifts is strong enough, you will go out on a limb. Take that hardest of steps and try to function in each of the 8 ways. You will never discover what God has given you. Some of you, I encourage you, and I'm jumping ahead here, but I encourage you, come and talk to us. We're not just hanging out in our offices studying all the time. We live amongst you guys. We know, we've seen you guys. Some of you not so much. But come, talk to us about that. I can tell you, we can tell you, we talk about this. We pray for you guys in this regard. By name. And we talk about, wow, this person, oh man, look at this. They show great mercy and compassion. That's the kind of person you want to come and visit you at the hospital. We pray for you guys in that way. Come talk to us. But in order for you to discover spiritual gifts, not only do you need to study it, not only do you pray, but you also need to just trust God and serve in those areas. Begin to serve so that you can discover what God has given you. Number four, when you are using your spiritual gift, when you are trying and you're trying to discover them and you are going out and you're saying, I'm gonna work on this specific area based upon the godly counsel, and we'll talk up here about this in a moment. What you want to do is you want to, number four, evaluate your service. Evaluate your service. Take it out. See it for what it is. Consider what you have done. Is it truly edifying the body? Or is it burdening those who you are serving? Is it truly blessing them, but are you doing it out of drudgery? Paul, in one of the places in the New Testament where the gifts are mentioned, that is Romans chapter 12, right before the gifts are talked about, he says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Here he's preparing them on how to consider the gifts that God has given in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these gifts were given not because you were so talented that God needed you. When you have sound judgment, it literally speaks of being reasonable, sensible, with a focus on self-control. Believers do this when you consider that in and of yourself, you have nothing to contribute. All that you have, your abilities are a gift from God. And in Christ and by the indwelling Holy Spirit, you actually can be used of God to make a difference in the body of Christ. When believers exercise sound judgment regarding spiritual gifts, they're humble, but they're humbly active. It's not about them, but about Christ. So you need to first examine your motives. Examine your motives. Again, do you have the right motive? Are you using your gift to promote yourself, to get man's applause, or for any selfish motive? If you're pursuing your spiritual gift for that purpose, you're going to derail from the beginning. It will be a disaster for you and for those whom you are serving, whom you are seeking to bless. Again, your motive must be love. And love is defined sacrificially giving of yourself for the benefit of others. You are other-centered. You're using all that God has given you to encourage and to build them up, to help them. It's not about you. Examine your motives, but also evaluate your abilities. And I love what Wayne Mack, in his book, Life in the Father's House, he gives some practical ways in which you can evaluate your abilities. He says, take a piece of paper and make the following lists. Number one, what can you do? What can you do already, right now? Focus on ways that you know you are able to serve. Secondly, what have you done? That is, ways that God has used you already in the body. What have you done? I see many of you taking notes, and so I'll slow down because I don't want to rush this. But number three, what are you doing better? Areas of service in which you are improving at. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And then, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Ministries that you would like to be involved in. Or even start. So examine your motives, evaluate your abilities, but then also, that's sometimes often it could be it's subjective. You're doing it yourself. We're sometimes blinded to our weaknesses and our limitations. So also invite the evaluation of others. Scripture talks about the counsel, the blessing of having a counsel of many. I would start by asking your elders to evaluate your service. This means that the elders must see you actually in service, in that particular gift, exercising that gift that God has given to you. And this also means that you need to be ready to receive the truth in love. I remember early on in my ministry as a youth pastor, there was a gal in our church who played, I just lost the name. I think it's a penny whistle. And she can play, you know, some simple songs here and there. But the pastor said, hey, she wants to serve in the music place. Let's put her in the music. Serve in the music ministry. And it was a disaster. And yet everybody was like, oh man, that was good. And they weren't honest with that person. And so it took the courage of someone to say, you know what? That's not really the place you should be playing. You actually are not serving the body in that way. And that's okay. You want people to serve in the right areas. Don't give people false assurance. That destroys churches. And it destroys lives, because when they actually discover, man, I'm not good at this, they're going to wonder, where was anybody at to tell me and help me to consider that I actually was a hindrance rather than a blessing to the body of Christ? It should have been the leadership's responsibility to tell them. But you can ask the elders. Ask the elders, which of the eight area of giftedness, of gift, the gifts do we see in you? Some of you, like I said, we might be able to tell you. Others, we haven't seen you actually use any gift. And so the question is, what are you doing? But ask, though, also, you can ask mature and respected Christians to evaluate you in your service, especially those whom you are serving in that moment, or in that time, or in that area. Ask these kind of questions. What benefit did my service give to others? When you consider what I just did here, when I came to the hospital, was I a blessing to them? Or did I add more of a burden? Ask that kind of question. Oh, you, man, we were so excited to see you. We were thankful for it. When you came to the house and I was hurting, instead of being anxious, oh man, they're coming. I was so glad to be that you were here. When you gave those resources to help us as a family, I was so glad more than anything just to see you than even those resources. And thank you so much for giving so generously to us to help us. What benefit did my service give to others? What benefit did my service give to that person that you're talking to? Was it a blessing to them? In what ways did my service bless God's people? And so as you are taking the opportunity to serve and apply and seek your spiritual gift and discover your spiritual gift, and you're trying these eight gifts that are available, evaluate yourself. Evaluate your service. Evaluate it by examining your own motives. Evaluate it by examining your abilities. Asking other believers to give you objective counsel. And those are all helpful. And by the way, as we give these practical things, these are not mandates. Okay, I'm not telling you, you must do this. I'm not mandating you to do this. Like I said, that there's principles in Scripture that help us think through these things in a way. And I tell you, if you do it this way, especially the last one that we just talked about, taking opportunities to do it and evaluating, those two are so crucial. They are way better than any test you would ever take. And in the process, you will be a blessing to other people rather than sitting back for years trying to discover, let me study it more. It's like the person who says, man, I just need to pray more, but I got to go study more about prayer. No, you know what? You know how you grow in prayer? Pray. You know how you grow in evangelism? Evangelize. You know how to go? You grow in teaching? Start studying the word and start teaching it. I mean, you have to eventually do it. And then invite the counsel of God's people. And number five, finally, recognize that there are degrees of giftedness. Recognize there are degrees of giftedness. That is to say that even two people with the same gift will be different. Their abilities will be different. They will not all look the same. That's the whole point of having gifts. You see this even just practically speaking within the apostles. You have Peter. Then you have John. Then you have Paul. Then you have others like Mark, Matthew, all the different guys who wrote in the New Testament letters. You see that they're different, yet similar giftedness. For example, when you compare Paul's letter to the Romans in comparison to John's letters, or John's letters, or letters to the believers in Ephesus, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, man, there's just different emphasis. But yet have the same gift of teaching, preaching. Refuse to allow the giftedness of others to discourage you from trying to serve in a particular area. Some of you might be like, man, I just can't do it like so-and-so. It doesn't matter what so-and-so does. We still need you. You still need to serve. We need you to grow in that area. And yeah, you might not have the same giftedness as a person. You won't. That's the beauty of it. But yet it is necessary. And it is vitally important that you exercise that. If you take, for example, again, the gift of teaching, there will be a variety of abilities. Some might be better than others. However, just because they are better at communicating God's truth and even doing it with skill doesn't mean that you don't have that gift of teaching. The spiritual gifts are not determined by comparison with another believer, but rather by God's own doing so that he can bless the church through you. There may be, in this particular example, there may be a need to get training in using your gift. Now, when I say that, doesn't mean that training gives you a gift, but you can grow in that gift. You can learn how to use it better. You can learn how to serve better. This is what Paul kept telling Timothy. Timothy, fan the flame. Timothy had the gift of exhortation and teaching and many others. He was a pastor teacher, and yet Paul kept telling him, hey, work hard, labor. That presupposes that there is training that is necessary that he must give and discipline himself to. So he wants to get better at what he's doing so that he can bless the people of God. And so there might be training necessary that you need to receive. Again, when you get a gift, doesn't mean now that it's going to be 100% perfect. It's going to be no flaws. What it does mean is that God has given you a gift to represent him to his people. You might need to get training in using your gift. There may be additional things that you need to understand. And often when you are seeking a training, and particularly when you are seeking the training of teaching, it's not going to be a drudgery. I mean, there's difficulties. I'm telling you, there's difficulties. There are times where you're just like, how many of you like to study? Raise your hand. That's great. Good. I am so thankful for that. Sometimes that study is not as consistent in our life because it takes work. It takes discipline. And we like that and we enjoy that. When you have that gift, you want to know. And you're willing to make the sacrifices to grow in that area, regardless of what it is. So there's a reason why you spend $30,000, $40,000 to go to seminary to train so that you can bless God's people. That's not something that most people do. But it was a sacrifice. There are sacrifices. There must be training. There must be need things that you must say, you know what? I want to use my gift for the glory of God. Dr. Thomas again says this, no two members are the same. No two have identical degrees of ability. And that is a beauty of spiritual gifts. So you can study them, you can pray, take opportunities to serve, evaluate yourself, and at the end recognize that there are degrees of giftedness and somebody's more giftedness in the same area that you have doesn't mean that you don't have that. Try it. Use it. Bless the body of Christ. When the body of Christ is exhibiting these gifts, Paul tells us this is what happens in the church. He says in verse 13 that we attain unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Here's one of the results of using your spiritual gift, until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. So not only do you have unity, but now also do you have growth. Growth. When you're using your spiritual gift, you develop not only a unity and love, you develop a doctrinal stability in your life. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Guess what? We accomplish the work that God has given to His glory when you not only understand your spiritual gift, not only do you understand its purpose, but also exercise it, discover it and exercise it in this local body. When that happens, those things happen. When we don't use it, we are being crippled. Friends, I implore you, as a believer here, commit to be faithful with what God has entrusted to you. Be a good steward of what He has given to you for His glory and the joy of the faith and love of other believers here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you have given us this special abilities to display, O you triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, may we do so in a way that not only do we discover our gifts that you've given to us, but we faithfully exercise them here and this body for the glory of your name, so the world around us would see that we are truly your disciples. Lord, that we would be a faithful church. We thank you for that. Lord, we commit ourselves to you this week now. In Jesus' name, amen.